How are you, Matt?
I'm really good. How are you doing, Keith?
Yeah, very well, thank you.
It's been a busy old month since I saw you last. I've kind of had a rearrange of the workshop with a new workbench. I think you might have had a bit of a rearrange too, from what I've seen. And I started a new YouTube channel.
I looked at the view numbers last night and I kind of expected to see your first video do really well because obviously you'd plugged it in your Badger Workshop vlog. And then I thought your second video would be kind of maybe half of those views or less. They've both had the same amount of views, so you've got to be well pleased.
I am, and I expected exactly the same thing as you. And I've had about twice as many views as I've got subscribers.
Amazing.
So I don't know what's going on. I think a lot of the people, though, if I look at the demographics, are men watching it. YouTube's recommending it to, like, my Badger Workshop audience rather than a new audience, which is probably what it needs, really.
You can't really go wrong with a toad in the hole video, can you? So, one of my favourite foods.
It's one of my favourite foods, and it's good because I would never cook toad in the hole for myself. Going into it, you think, oh, well, if I want sausages, I'll just cook some sausages. I'm just on my own. I'm not going to make a batter and do a toad in the hole. So it's forcing me to eat tasty food, which is not a bad thing at all.
A win-win. So, what's next on the menu for the food channel?
I shot some kind of Christmas side dishes yesterday,
Nice.
just to try and make Christmas easier, kind of an idea. Then I've got a couple more Christmassy ones. I'm never going to run out of ideas.
Yeah, I'd quite like to see you eat it at the end. That's the only thing I miss. Because
Okay.
you see the whole journey of the food being created, and you're like, now I can watch him eat it and enjoy
I think the
it.
first one, the mince pie, I took a bite and then I realised I was chewing for like 20 seconds. Like, who wants to see someone?
That's the thing, because I'm quite self-conscious when I eat anyway, so I can imagine it being awful on camera.
Just with the lav mic right under your chin.
Om nom nom.
So you've had a busy month as well, it looks.
I've just been going down the rabbit hole of dust extraction, really. And in fact, I've had to create a follow-up video for the one that I did last because a couple of people in the comments mentioned it could be my planer at fault rather than the actual extraction system. So I did some tests after that video and found the problem, which I won't go into in detail, but I've solved the problem. Well, wouldn't say solved. It's still not perfect, but I'm not expecting to use a planer thickener and all of the chips disappear. I just don't want all of the chips being left on the table.
No.
So I've got, 90% of them or more going now, so I'm happy with that solution. And then I started running some other tests because a bunch of people were saying you need to duct it outside for the best performance because the filter is obviously air resistance and that detracts from the airflow as a whole. But I ran some tests and it affects it by about 5%. So I really don't think the filter is that much of an issue. But it's bizarre because I saw some other guy on YouTube, an American chap with like an aircraft hangar workshop. He'd done all of the ducting with T's, so no kind of gradual bends. And it's all run along the ceiling, so there's, probably hundreds of meters of ducting all coming down from the ceiling, and the ceiling is really high as well. And it's so badly designed, and yet his extraction is running really well, apparently. And it's like this doesn't make any sense, but he's ducting it directly outside. But he's running it all on a 2 horsepower extractor, which is the same extractor as mine.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah.
It just doesn't add up. It just
No.
doesn't add up. And so many people keep sending me a link to this video, and I'm like, yeah, but that's not what I'm seeing at all. If I set mine up like that, it would be atrocious. So I don't get it. But he's not trolling us. He's not faking this video because he's clearly got this working for him in his workshop, and it's working well for him. That's like that just doesn't add up. I don't understand.
That's so bizarre because when I see the Americans, what they tend to have is the big machines they have, and they're like 10 horsepower or something.
Yeah, I remember
And
Matthias in his old workshop. He had this thing. It must have been like 1.5 meters deep. It was huge. Kind of want to get the best results I can, but at the same time, I don't want to keep pumping out videos about dust extraction because it's not everyone's cup of tea.
I think it's a very interesting subject. I'm definitely obsessed. It's one of those tools that you don't need it to make anything, dust extraction. But to have a nice life, it's so important, isn't it?
Yeah. The other piece of feedback I was kind of dreading was everyone saying you should have got a Canvac, which happened. I got a few comments saying you should have got a Canvac. And maybe I should have done, but the trouble is I've not seen anyone test the airflow from a Canvac, so I've got nothing to compare it to. And also I've heard a few people say, because obviously the nature of vacuum extractors, you're basically needing to use multiple motors to get a similar amount of airflow as an HVLP can deliver with its impeller. A couple of people say, so what I'm doing is like alternating the motors. So I'm using these two, and then so that each one gets a rest. And I'm thinking, that's great. But when I made that cot, for example, I spent a whole day milling. And if I need all three motors on at the same time to give me better performance than my HVLP extractor is delivering, there's no way it's going to be able to keep up with that. And it's going to be pumping out loads of hot air as well in my workshop, which, to be honest, in the winter would be heaven. But in the summer, probably not.
Yeah, I've got a two-motor Canvac, and you've got a two-motor pneumatic. So they're pretty much on par.
That's a good point. Why haven't I connected that up to the same system and measured airflow myself? I should have thought of that.
Yeah, be interesting. I think the trouble is the cyclone definitely reduces it. So if you put the pneumatic straight on the planer, it would definitely work.
Yeah.
In fact, I think when I had a Canvac, I used just one motor to extract for my Electra Beckham or Motarbo one. Okay, yours is bigger, but the two motors should do it. But the cylinder would fill up in three passes. You have to have the cyclone, don't you?
Yeah, that's the trouble. The cyclone is just so convenient. But I was shocked at how much it impacts the airflow. And I get a lot of people commenting saying, you know, the flexi tube is a huge problem as well. But again, when I've tested it with flexi pipe versus solid pipe, there's not that much difference. There is a difference, but it's not that bad. But it's that cyclone that really kills it.
I imagine the flexi hose is terrible if you're doing like a 30 meter runs around your workshop.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But those tiny bits are a fraction. It's one of those things, again, people see it on a video, you can't use flexi pipe, and then it's...
they start reciting it. Yeah.
Yeah. You just can't look at it on a video and know what the problem is.
It's great to have the comments, because some of the comments I've had have really put me on the right track towards solving the issues.
I wonder, I think cyclones are different as well, aren't they? As in, I watched the thing when Festool brought out a cyclone, and comparing it to even the cheap Chinese ones, and it performed terribly. Because it's not really round, because it goes into a sustainer. It's got rounded off corners, but it's more of a square shape.
So it's the thing that looks like a sustainer?
Yeah.
I'd never even seen that before until now.
Oh, I thought it looked really cool because, yeah, you can put it on your stack of toolboxes. Great for taking in and out of people's houses, but actually in a small workshop as well, having something squared off. I mean, I'm really pleased with my new cyclone, which I might have mentioned a few times, because the problem with most of them is they're so tall.
Yeah.
As that, the Festool one I was tempted with, even though it was really expensive, of course, because it's Festool. But then I watched some reviews and like, oh no, the performance, it reduces airflow by like 30% or something. It was something massive.
It's nice and compact, but yeah.
It is nice and compact. But I wonder if the Axminster one, I mean, it looks a nice shape and design.
Again, I've had a lot of comments saying the Axminster Cyclone really isn't all that good. I just don't understand any of the science behind these things. The other feedback is that I really shouldn't have gone down to 4-inch for the cyclone, and I should have kept the whole system 5-inch, which I could have done because I looked at it and 5-inch ducting is readily available. I could buy that and run it across the workshop, but I would then have to source a 5-inch cyclone, and they are like £500. It's just a metal cone. I just don't understand where that money goes.
So your extractor has got a 5-inch port on it, has it?
It has.
Ah.
Yeah.
That's interesting. But one thing you did say in the video, which I didn't comment, but you said that it's the only cyclone available in the UK. I don't know if other people had then chimed in and told you all the other ones available.
No.
I've just sent you a link to Toolovation, which is probably a website you've been on before. I mean, it's not cheap. Yeah, they have all the dust deputy.
Oh, yeah. It did get me thinking about whether I could adapt the Axminster cyclone to be 5 inches.
Ooh, cut some holes, eh?
Yeah, but the trouble is it's then so difficult to seal up, and also it's a fairly expensive thing. I think it's like 140 quid, so to be butchering it like that doesn't feel sensible, because I'll probably destroy it.
Yeah, I mean, you're getting towards trouble if you buy £500 for a separator and you've bought a extractor.
Yeah.
Then you're getting to the money where you could just buy one of the ready-made systems. I'm looking at like the Axminster Craft one, 1,095 metres an hour. That's the thing as well. They sometimes do metres a second, or metres a minute, or metres an hour, or feet per... Yeah. It's so hard to compare them.
Yeah, and also to get CFM, you also have to put in the dimensions of the ducting in order to get... So I was doing all of these conversions for the sake of the video, thinking, you know, the American and Canadian viewers are probably going to want to see CFM. I put 400 CFM, I think, on each one, because I did it as best I could, but I can't guarantee it was right. But yeah, the problem with that Axminster one... Well, the problems are numerous, in my opinion. You've still got to change bags. It's on a honking great red trolley, which it would be fine if you were wheeling it between machines. But the whole point of setting up an extraction system, in my opinion, is to have something static that's tucked away in the corner that you never have to touch again. But I just want it parked in a corner where I never have to move it.
No, you're quite right. You need to go for the professional one, which is 3 times the price.
Yeah. I found one on that website link you've just sent me that's 5 inches, so it's perfect for what I would need, £396.
And you don't even know if it's going to solve your problem.
Exactly. Oh, one other thing I should mention, and this is a really interesting idea and something I thought about setting up. Somebody mentioned, why not put the cyclone after the motor? Because obviously in a conventional HVLP extractor, as they come delivered and how as they're intended to work, all the dust and chips go into the motor. They get pushed through via the impeller into that kind of drum thing that then drops down into the bag or goes out via the top filter. So why not have the exhausted air from the motor go into the cyclone? That to me seems like a really good idea, but I've not seen anyone else do it. So there must be a reason why no one else has done it.
I can't quite... You're going to have to draw me a picture.
Yeah. I'll probably have to draw myself a picture just to get my head around it. You know the motor of the motor where the impeller is?
Yeah.
So let's, for example, plug my planar thicknesser directly into that part, then have the exhaust on the motor going into the cyclone, which would be via the what is normally the out of the cyclone, if that makes sense, side access rather than the top. So all of the dust gets exhausted into the cyclone, spins, drops down into the barrel, and then you have an outlet at the top of the cyclone going into your cartridge filter.
So you're saying all the chips are going to pass through the motor?
Yeah, but that's how they work normally.
They don't go through the motor.
They go through the impeller, though, don't they, I think?
The motor's at the back, so nothing's actually going through the motor.
No, it's probably my bad terminology. When I say motor, I suppose I mean that whole component of the machine that the motor is on.
Okay.
Yeah, and so it's. I guess I mean the impeller. So all of the dust and chips get spun by that.
That big round bit of metal that has the motor.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But like I say, my one concern is why has nobody done this before? Because there are so many clever people out there that would have thought of this already, surely.
That stops me all the time.
The thing is with Google as well, the Google of 10 years ago, I could have gone into and put cyclone after impeller dust extraction or something like that, and found some web page of an article where somebody tried it. But the Google of today is just designed to sell you things. You'll put in that and then it'll just give you loads of crap that you're not interested in. I hate Google now. In fact, it's kind of made me... Oh, that's funny. My smart speaker just perked up. I said I hate Google, and it thinks I said, okay, Google.
The AI is recording all this and it's going to come to you one day.
I considered using Bing the other day.
I can't. It's one of those things that's changed so subtly over time. I've not noticed it. But yeah, I imagine if you went back. Yeah, so I'm looking at like the cheapest extractor on Axminster, which is one of those ones that hangs on the wall and is just a motor and a bag.
Yeah.
So yeah, like it's the trouble is the flange is square and you want to attach it to the round input on a...
Yeah, but the flange has...
goes to
word?
A 4-inch.
It goes to a 4-inch
yeah.
circular duct.
So yeah, that would work. And then you want the filter to be on the top of the cyclone, so you'd have to cut the cyclone open at the top, wouldn't you? Because you couldn't have 5 inches going to the... Well, I guess you could.
Surely that is like a stroke of genius. I didn't come up with it, obviously. A couple of people in the comments mentioned it, but
oh, I thought I was going to be impressed there, Keith.
No.
Well, I think that could be an interesting video, if nothing else, going, you title it, Are My Viewers Genius or Stupid? Are these people just suggesting it, or have they tried it, do you think?
I don't think they've tried it.
No, someone needs to be the pioneer. Yeah, no, it's an interesting idea.
Maybe I'll have a go. But if anyone listening has done this or understands why it can't be done, please do.
Yeah, why it's actually really stupid.
Please do let me know and save me a day's work. And what I'll do is I'll draw up a really crude sketch of what I mean and I'll put that in the video.
Oh, and we've got an Instagram as well, haven't we? So we can
yeah.
put a picture on Instagram.
We'll do that.
And we're all very excited to see your drawing.
It's going to be bad. Yeah, so if you're listening on Spotify or something else, check out either our YouTube or our Instagram to see my awful sketch and let me know whether it's a stupid idea or not.
I've never used one of these AI things, but I wonder if you can put those parameters in and it will design you come up with a picture of one.
I used Midjourney for quite a while just to see what it was capable of because I was so intrigued by it. But I found that the more niche thing that you search for, the worse it is. If you put in something like Taylor Swift riding on a unicorn, you'd get a great image.
And why wouldn't you?
But if you put Peter Millard attending to an HVLP extractor, I don't think you'd have a very pleasing result.
Well, that's very insulting to Peter. But I think there's as many pictures of Peter on the internet as there are Taylor Swift. He's very prolific.
Maybe I should try that. I'll see if I can log into Midjourney. I'll post that on our Instagram too.
If the thumbnail for this video isn't Peter on a unicorn, I'm really disappointed now. Coming up next time on Workshop Banter, we've got the Workshop Banter Christmas special with superstars from YouTube making guest appearances, so it's a must. Please tune in then.
You're not going to want to miss it. I'm about to start kind of winding down. What I want to do is just spend a few weeks over Christmas getting prepared for the next big woodworking project, which I'm going to be doing, which is that oak extending dining table that I've been talking about for 6 months. And also just kind of sorting out drawers and cabinets and moving things around and getting everything as I want it to be before I think about doing some kind of workshop tour, which is what you suggested I do in the last episode.
Yeah, I always do one at New Year, but mine's still going to be... Well, the workshop might be tidy, but the shed's a disgrace.
Is it? Is that going to be part of the workshop tour?
I think so. Yeah. I think I'm going to show my three workspaces, which is the shed, the workshop, and then I'll show the kitchen as well, because that's like my second studio now.
Like I mention in the comments of that video, your kitchen looked very different to when I last saw it. Because last time I was in your kitchen, there was a bandsaw there and lots of lots of crates piled up. And I think your pillar drill was in there as well.
Yeah, I think it was.
And now it looks like some kind of high-end kitchen studio that Barry Lewis would be proud of. So I wondered, did you film any of that? And also, the other thing I wanted to ask is, your rail, is that copper pipe?
Yes.
Ah, so you just bought some copper pipe?
I was going to buy some rail, and I couldn't find any I liked. And then they're called school board clips, the brass things that hold the copper pipe. And I realised I had a bag with about 60 of them in it. I've used copper pipe quite a lot of time. If you're putting any load in, all you need to do is buy some dowel. I forgot what the internal dimensions of 15mm copper pipe is. It's about 13mm, I think. So I got some 12mm dowel, which costs, you know, £4 or something, and you shove it down the centre.
Nice.
And then you're never going to crush the copper pipe by putting anything heavy on it. I mean, kitchen utensils probably be fine anyway, but it just gives you that bit of peace of mind. No, I think it looks cool. Yeah, no, I didn't film it because I can't remember if I talked about this before, probably not on the podcast, but I was doing those things with my mum. I loved how it looked when I was filming in her kitchen.
Yeah.
The sunlight streaming in looked great. And she's got a new dog and she's going on holiday for 3 weeks next year and I'm going to go and dog sit. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to start a YouTube channel next year when I stay at her house for 3 weeks because I could probably film, well, 3 videos a week.
Yeah.
So get 9 videos done. That's 2 and a bit months worth. And then every time I visit, I can do something because I can't possibly film in my kitchen. And then I thought about it and thought about it and thought about it. Like, I don't want to wait that long. I'm excited to do it. And I looked at my kitchen and the cupboard doors were on, but they weren't really. They were propped up. The sink moved in the tap moved in the socket. And it, everything, right. So the water had gone down. The plate that holds it had rusted. The cupboard had got wet and swollen and split. It just needs ripping out. So I took the cupboard doors off straight away because they did nothing. It just looks awful, the kitchen. Well, you probably didn't see it because you were too busy looking at the bandsaw and the drill and all the other tools. But they've all gone now. So it's actually a really big kitchen. And I was like, no one's going to see under my sink unless I stupidly tell everyone about it on my podcast. So it's really just... The tiles are awful as well. They've been painted. But like, if I just hang things over the tiles, the wall cabinets look terrible. So I took the wall cabinets down, painted the walls, put some shelves up, spent about £200. And it now, I almost cried when I put everything on the shelves. Like, I can't believe how good it looks.
It looks incredible. And the shelves themselves, are they scaffold boards or something?
Well, I had a nightmare with wicks. Matt's monthly monologue.
Is this Matt's rant? Or...
This Matt's rant. I've forgotten. We need a jingle for it.
Yeah.
I bought some things that... The timbers were about the same size as scaffold boards, but they weren't scaffold boards.
Okay.
And it's about 3.6 metres... No, about 3.4 metres long, the kitchen. So I bought some 3.6. So I didn't want to join them. Just one continuous shelf. About 200 mil wide. The reason I love wicks... No, love's a strong word. Is you can do a name day delivery, which is what you want. I want to know it's coming on that day. I can plan that I'm just going to do computer work that day and wait in the house. Then they email me the next day going, oh, the timber's going to come direct from the supplier. It's going to come any time in the next 10 days or something. Like, well, that's blooming useless. So I waited like 7 days and then went, no, I'm just cancelling the order. I spoke to someone, cancelled the order, and then on the evening of the 9th day, they were like, oh, the courier's got your order and they're going to deliver tomorrow. Like, and I had a plan to go away. So I contacted the PA and go, no, cancel the order. I'm like, oh yeah, we've done that. And then they're like, oh, can't do it. Just refuse the order, or if you're not in, they just return it. Okay, I'll go away and they can just, I won't be there, so they'll return it. Come home from visiting this dog, these massive lengths of timber are just left on the road behind the house, kind of in the way of the neighbours.
Oh, so around the back, not
around
the front.
The back.
Oh, thank God for that.
But still, over the neighbour's house, like, I was furious. And then I moved him to the garden. I ripped a hole in my jumper because the staple's sticking out. So then I was ready to kill someone. So then I had a whole battle with Wicks for them to come and collect them, which took ages. And then it took them about 3 weeks more to refund me. Anyway, so this would have held up the project massively. So I ended up buying some, basically 2x4s, and just gluing two together to make the shelves. Didn't sand them, didn't plane them, just glued them together, stained them. They look fine, they look rustic. No one's going to see the details. I had a 2 week period that I wanted to get it painted and done and ready to go. And then the workbench works fantastically in there.
Yeah, it's so good. It looks amazing.
No, I'm pleased. It makes me excited to cook. I didn't want to cook in there before. I hated the worktops, but I didn't want to do the kitchen because the roof, I've got a flat roof that needs redoing above it. So it kind of seemed pointless decorating a kitchen and then getting your roof ripped off.
Yeah.
Because what are the chances you're going to get some damage? Yeah, I wasn't going to put a whole new kitchen unit in, spend thousands, and then it's the wrong order to do things.
Yes. So I looked up school board clip when you mentioned it, and man, they're good looking things, aren't they?
Oh, and they're not cheap, not expensive.
They look really industrial and just the shape of them, I love it. And also they're brass, so you can't go wrong.
Yeah, they're really nice. They do, obviously all the sizes. You can get 15 or 22 or 30 mil or whatever they come in.
Yeah, I really like them.
Wow, I look forward to seeing them in a project.
Yeah.
But I think I used to buy them at 60 odd p each. I don't know what they...
Really?
Oh, 84p. Yeah, so they're not expensive. I mean, to be honest, copper pipes are not that cheap. You could go to IKEA and buy... I could have bought the rails to have gone on there for probably the same price as what I did it for, if not cheaper.
Like aluminium or chrome or something else?
Yeah, they do some stainless steel ones, but I think you can get ones that are 40 centimetres long for £3.
Mm.
So I could have just bought 6 of those or whatever.
The copper's going to patina, though, and it'll just add to the whole rusticness. It'll look great.
And it's unique, isn't it? I hate... buying homewares and things from a supermarket, because then everyone comes around your house and goes, oh, you've got that thing as well.
will it go green?
I don't
know. You know, like the roofs of some buildings?
Yeah.
Copper roofs.
Ambergris? People are shouting at their thing going, you've got it wrong. Verdigris? Yeah.
Yeah, copper turns green because of a process called oxidization, which forms a distinctive green coating. Oh, wow, the Statue of Liberty is copper.
Yeah, that's the most famous
one. No way. I never knew that.
Verdigris, or green in Greece.
So as it reacts with oxygen in the air. So yours might go green eventually. It'll probably take years and years, I should imagine.
I've got some oxygen in the kitchen. But yeah, actually, when you think of copper pipes, especially... you go to pub toilets, they often have exposed copper pipes. I mean, nice pubs, they polish them. Not so nice, you kind of get those green patches on them.
Yeah.
Around joints and things. So yeah, it might go green. I don't think it'd go green in my lifetime. Also, the tools are on S-hooks, so they move a little, which kind of burnishes the pipe.
Oh, nice. I suppose the other exciting thing that we've got to talk about are your videos for Bosch.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about those. Did you watch them?
Yeah, they looked incredibly crisp. And some of the lighting, I think there's a shot in one of them towards the end where you're in the garden and it's dark. And the lighting just looks incredible.
This is terrible. I don't think I've watched them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, considering they're 3 minutes long or something.
They look amazing. They're so well shot. And I can't believe you got all of that done in a day. That blows my mind.
It was such a great... cruise. It'd be really fun having, I couldn't believe, me in the workshop with two camera operators with professional massive rigs.
Yeah.
I mean, you've not seen my workshop, but well, you have on film. It's pretty small. So the three of us in there was tight. I would have liked more time to really talked about cameras and geeked out, but obviously we had to build things. When I did the Curse of Handmade Christmas, it was just one camera guy turned up. No sound, no lighting, and it was just so relaxed. It was just two people having a chat. And yeah, I just thought it'd be a bit like that, and like, oh, it's the whole crew. This is a bit crazy. Hello, Matt here. It takes us quite a lot of time to prepare and produce each episode of this podcast, and we'd like to keep putting it out for free. If you enjoy the podcast and you'd like to help, support and shape future episodes, you can find a link to our Patreon page in the show notes or just search online for Workshop Banter Patreon. Thank you, and now back to the podcast.
So my friend Dean, who runs the channel Woodworking Journey, he's restoring a table saw, and he's done an amazing job on it. It's a 50 quid thing from Facebook Marketplace, cast iron. He's sanded it all down, made it look pretty, but he's missing the arbor nut, and he's kind of done some investigations, and he thinks it's something called Acme threads, which are unusual, and also it's reverse threaded, and it's 5/8 of an inch, so it's an imperial size. And he's searched so hard for this nut that it doesn't exist. And I've been trying to help him because he helps me with loads of stuff all the time. I've got no idea where to go for this thing. Don't suppose you know any like YouTubers that do stuff like that, like milling or engineering, whatever it is?
I genuinely can't think of a single YouTuber. Because it's just not something I follow. But I think you're on the right lines. You need someone with a lathe, a metalworking lathe, that can cut threads.
Yeah.
Because it's probably relatively simple for them, I would have thought.
Really want to see the table saw in action. It's quite an interesting thing.
If it's an imperial measurement and an Acme thread, I'd have thought that it's an American thing. So yeah. Have you tried any US sites?
That's a good thought, actually.
Because even with, if it's only a nut, even with the posting it for America, it's probably cheaper than getting someone to actually mill it for you.
Yeah.
Turn it for you. McMaster Car, that's who everyone talks about in America.
Master Car?
I think it's like McMaster Car. I've never used it, and obviously it's in America, but I've seen engineers talk about it. They have like a catalogue that looks like the old-fashioned Yellow Pages. You're just absolutely massive with everything you could possibly imagine. But yeah, you can do it by thread size. It's so hard. I saw someone the other day, they 3D printed like a worm drive for a table saw that was just
him.
Oh, was that him?
Yeah.
I was like, I was really impressed. Like, that's a good solution to the problem.
I've been working on a project that isn't being filmed, which has been quite enjoyable. The reason I'm not filming it is because it's, well, all of the interesting stuff on it has already been done by my friend. And this is weird because probably about 3 years ago, we started filming this project with the idea that we were going to work on it together and complete it together. But at the time, it was apparent that it was such a big project that it was just going to take forever. And I kind of said, there's no way I can do this and keep posting a video every week. So he kind of just started doing it himself. And he's got it to a point now where it is almost a fully fledged thing. And I'm just basically building a cabinet around it. So basically, it's a 2P machine, like you'd see in the arcades.
Yeah, my sister loves those.
Yeah. So, and I was so impressed at what he's done, because originally he had I think it was an old microwave motor, and he designed this kind of mechanical pulley type thing to bring the tray in and out. But he was never quite happy with the speed of it. It was either too quick or too slow. So in the end, he connected up this thing that controlled the speed of it, and he found a different motor, and he's just been on this journey to try and make it as authentic as he could for ages. And now he's getting like audio devices so that they play all of the classic arcade tunes and things like that. He's really gone to town with it. And we built the side panels for it the other day in the workshop, and I've stained them with India ink, so it almost looked like that kind of black ash look that you'd see in an arcade. So yeah, that's been really fun.
Are you going to put it in a vlog or something, show it?
I'd like to, but obviously it's all his hard work. I've done very little. I've just cut out some panels to build a cabinet around it. There's still some intricate work to be done, because there's got to be access holes and doors and things like that so that you can get to the internals and repair things and stuff like that. It's his project, really. But yeah, it'd be nice to show it off. What have you been watching recently, Matt?
I'm afraid I'm going to do something I know I've mentioned before, but I just find it interesting that Bradshaw Joinery, always been a great resource, But I think he has the problem that is a real problem with YouTube. If you're a professional doing the job, you don't have time to make videos. And so the people that make the videos are people like it, us, you know, a couple of idiots who have no idea what they're doing. But he seems to have been, like, really prolific. Like, he's decided, right, I'm going to make a go of YouTube or something. And he's been doing, like, several videos a week. Really interesting that he's found the time to actually producing stuff. Because before, I swear, he was doing one a month or something. And now, two or three a week. It's crazy.
Yeah, and not only that, but the projects that he's doing in these videos are huge as well. I don't know if you saw that oak framing that he did. Yeah. Oh my God, that was incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, I love Ollie's channel. It's fantastic. Yeah.
It's just the catch 22. If you're doing it for a living, you don't have time to make YouTube videos.
Yeah, that's another reason why I always liked Gid Joyner's videos as well. Seeing that insight and seeing just the day-to-day stuff that goes on is just absolutely fascinating. I love it.
Yeah, I loved his little workshop. It just looked like a workshop where things are made.
Yes.
You could shovel the sawdust up, probably.
Yeah, it's probably 2 foot of sawdust on the floor. My recommendation in this one is, so basically we've got a room in our house that's in the middle of our bungalow that has no natural light. A couple of weeks ago, I was speaking to Robin Clevett about sun tunnels. I don't know if you've seen them. It's a reflective pipe that goes up through from the ceiling up to the roof and brings in natural light into the centre of your home. So he mentioned there's one by Velux called the Velux Sun Tunnel. And I found a video by a chap called Fix My Roof, which is installing a Velux Sun Tunnel. It's a really good video, really well made video, lots of detail in it. And it's kind of made me think, I could do this. This is a job I could do myself. I would need some form of scaffolding, but I'm sure I could hire some kind of scaffold tower and have a go at it myself. And I think it would make for an interesting video. And it's the kind of work that I like doing as well. So I'm quite excited about giving it a try, but probably not until summer next year.
Yeah, really? I'd never heard of such a thing.
They look cool because it's pure natural light that's coming in, and it just, and you get a diffuser on the inside as well. So it just looks like natural light.
Yeah. And I guess you get a bit of passive heating as well.
Yeah, you would. And I think there's some that you can even introduce ventilation into, so you can get kind of like a trickle vent effect. SkillBuilder had done a video on one as well by Keylight. I don't know whether that's some kind of sponsor of theirs or something. But yeah, more research required, but definitely something I want to have a go at.
Yeah, no, interesting. As I said earlier, I really need to do the roof, my flat roof, and it is properly flat.
Yeah.
So I would like to turn it into a single pitch roof, and the temptation would very much be to rip the ceiling down in the kitchen, have exposed beams, and put a skylight in as well.
Nice.
I'm still in the, do I do it myself or employ people? Like, I don't want to do it myself, but it's thousands of pounds difference.
I think you'll fly through a project like that. You've done it before, haven't you, on your workshop?
I find it's so much easier when you're doing something from scratch to when you're
knocking about something that's been there for hundreds of years.
Yeah, like you don't know what the problem is until you rip the felt off, like, because it's that is the ply that's down there good, or does it all need to come off? And if it needs to come off, then I need 10 sheets of ply that have to be delivered, so then you've got to wait for that. As when I do like the workshop, I get everything I know I'm going to need ready, and then I start. I feel you can't do it. As when you're a builder, it doesn't matter. You've got a big van and you just go, you've got an account at the local suppliers and you just go and pick the thing up in half an hour. As for me, it's 10 sheet supply are going to be maybe a couple of days delivery. And it's all stress. I'm stressed even thinking about it. But then you know you'd do a better job than most people. When you book a builder, you don't always get Robin Clevett.
Such a shame that you don't as well.
You do, but natural light is nice. That sounds a good project, and I'm impressed that it's something you want to take on, because you've just had your roof done, but I suppose you've seen it being done now. You kind of know. I mean, looking at pictures, it looks like you just remove a few tiles and it's...
Exactly, remove a few tiles, cut a few battens, and you get like a flashing kit that's supplied with it, so it doesn't look that hard at all.
No, and you know you'd be able to do it in a day.
Yeah.
Or probably a morning.
I would hope so. Yeah, probably a day.
Yeah. You wait until summer and you know you've got a couple of dry days in case there's any problems.
It usually takes me double what anyone says it will take me, so yeah. And then filming on top of it as well.
Yeah, filming is a thing. Thank you for listening. You can find Keith on YouTube by searching for Rag N Bone Brown and me by searching for Badger Workshop. We have a Patreon page if you'd like to help support us in making future episodes of the podcast. Link to that in the show notes. And we have a Workshop Banter Instagram and Facebook page if you'd like to get in touch, which is @workshopbanter, all one word.